السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
عليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على عبد الله ورسوله محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين وبعد. We begin in the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sending blessings and salutations upon the masterpiece Muhammad ibn Abdullah al-Hashimi al-Qurashi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon him and his family members and all his companions and all those who have struggled and strived to protect and preserve the deen after learning it and putting it into practice and conveying it to others in such a way that it got to us today. May Allah bless them and bless every single one of us and make us similar to them. Amen. My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, it is an honor to be seated here in front of you or standing here in front of you this afternoon. The brother had to send me one SMS and within a week I was here by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To be honest, we need to learn about our religion whilst we are learning something secular. It is wrong for us to dedicate our lives as Muslims to something secular without realizing that the first and foremost point is that we are Muslims. So when you are a doctor, you are not a doctor who is a Muslim, but you are a Muslim who is a doctor. When you are a lawyer or a professor, you are not just a professor who is a Muslim, but you are a Muslim who is a professor. What I've chosen to do this afternoon, seeing that we are speaking to people mostly who are still on campus and mashallah going through the years of study, is to show you the two different extremes that we have in Islam, or should I say what is ideal and something now known as realistic, something on the ground. As I entered the campus, the first thing I noticed was women dressed scantily. To be factual, it's quite a cold day, cool day. On top of that, dressed as though we are in the heat of summer. May Allah protect us. That is campus. That's a reality on the ground. We cannot deny that that is what's happening. Another thing, we cannot deny that Muslim boys and girls get up to mischief. We cannot deny that. That's the reality on the ground. But what I want to tell you, we get speakers who come to talk to us telling us this is haram, that's haram, this is not allowed, you're not allowed to be doing this and doing that, and this is extremely bad and whatnot. We find that in Islamic rules, we all know, I know how to dress according to Islam, I know what is required of me. It is sometimes that we get confused when we listen to people who really follow a cult, or sometimes people who really do not think according to the norms of the Sharia, that they contaminate our minds and begin to make us think that something halal is haram and something haram is halal. I give you a simple example of music. My beloved brothers and sisters, to know that music is bad, you don't need to be a Muslim. You just need to go and study the lives of every single pop star that has more than 1 million followers on the globe. You just need to study their lives. Look at the mess. Look at their lives, look at their dress code, look at the way they move and ask yourself, is that clean, is it pure? Just ask yourself that. Look at the mess in their lives, how they have changed husbands or wives more than they change underwear. Allahu Akbar. It's a fact. And then we want to debate, no, it's good, you know, Beyonce, mashallah. Oh, have you seen her lately? Wow, the new hairstyle. For what? Take a look at her life. Look at what she does. Take a look at her norms. Look at everything that happens around her. Take a look at how she tweets and look at the swear words on that. And look at how they call each other names. Go and have a peep. I have done it because we need to speak to the youngsters. And we need to know what's going on. So I can tell you more about the lives of some of those people than you might even know. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. Did you know that 90% of them are on antidepressants? If music brought about goodness, would they not be the most content people on earth? So if you put the Quran and Sunnah aside for a moment, speaking to a non-Muslim, if you put it aside for a moment, it does not need a rocket scientist to know that that path is not the path of purity. And now as Muslims, bring back the Quran and Sunnah and we put it in front of us, it is a deen and a religion of purity. If it is a deen of purity, there is no place for impurity in that particular deen, in our deen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us goodness. Today people are complaining, oh, I found a spouse, and you know what, 4 years later I found that this happened and that happened, and now you look at the divorce rate today, it is unacceptable. One of the prime reasons is, when we met her, we looked at her with the eyes of shaitan, not with the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because we saw her at the wrong place, we looked at her, we went out with her, we were in the condition of sin whilst making our minds up. Allahu Akbar. So whose eyes were we looking through? Shaitan. Then when you tell youngsters this, they say, that man is an idealist. That's still a compliment. You know what an idealist means? He looks at ideal. He's not looking at the realistic thing in front of him on the ground. Or, I told you that is still a compliment. Sometimes they just say, fundamentalist, he's actually one of the Talibans. Allah protect us. I'm sure you've heard those comments. Our own children are calling us extremists when we are telling them, this is how you achieve peace. So I have challenged some of the youngsters to say, okay, you show me how you achieve peace. Show it to me. Come up with a name. Bring someone. Show us anyone. Who do you think is a hero, role model? Check the peace. There is nobody that can ever surpass Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the teaching. So there is no way to achieve peace except by surrendering to the owner of peace, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No way. If I want to get a wife who is really the coolness of my eyes, I do not need to look with the haram looks of this dunya, but I need to hunt for someone with the correct intention, and let's not engage in sin and say, you know what, I had the best of intentions. And yet, you're going out to the gigs and to the this, and you know, we're taking people out here and there and engaging in haram, visiting the campus, whatever you'd like to say, in a totally haram way, then we expect goodness out of that. You know what, if you're already married in that way, don't worry, it's not too late. To be honest with you, you can engage in tawbah, Allah will rectify that for you. If both husband and wife engage in tawbah after they have done wrong, Allah will rectify it for us. But what we're saying is, on one hand, you have people who are teaching us what is right and wrong, and on the other hand, you have total liberal to say, look, there's nothing wrong, you know, you can do as you want. As a Muslim female, you don't need to wear a scarf, because you know, on campus, they look at you more when you have a scarf than when you don't. What type of justification is that to remove the scarf? Imagine, they look at you more when you have a beard, so just shave it. Allahu Akbar. Is that justification? People will tell you, you know what, you don't need to actually eat that which is strictly halal, because we're living in an environment where, you know, there are people of the book, and they come and convince you. You're allowed to do this with the people of the book, and do that with the people of the book, and so on. Which book? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us a deeper understanding. So, on one hand, we have people who have relaxed all the rules and regulations. The other hand, we have people, mashallah, who have told us what's right. Sometimes you get people who go well beyond the right wing, prohibiting things that may not be prohibited. For example, let me give you an example. I've heard people who say, you know, to have a mobile phone is haram. Why? Because, you know, it leads to haram. Okay, if something leads to haram, there is a Shari'i ruling that says anything that leads to haram may be haram. Because if it's leading you to that, you've got to block it and stop it from there. But, to be honest, those type of items, they can be used for your benefit or your harm. Just like Facebook and Twitter, and just like LinkedIn or whatever else you have. You can use the internet for your good or for your harm. Some people might tell you it is totally haram because the internet is worse than a television. You have access to pornography. Wallahi, I'll be honest with you. When we go to a pornographic site, Allah protect us, our offspring, our eyes, and Allah forgive us all for anything bad we may have done. You pay the price of it well before you die. You pay it. You pay the price of it. People wonder, well, what's wrong? I have come across young Muslims who have been brainwashed to the degree that they say, if your husband and wife watching together, there's nothing wrong, you're spiking your life. Allahu Akbar. Where? You're not supposed to be seeing someone who is uncovered beyond what is known as the awra or the satr, the private parts, and you know what the private parts of a male and a female are. So people are justifying things, and as I said, if we are to be using those justifications, we pay a price. The one who is justifying things like music and pornography and so on, there is no hope for them to get out of it, because according to them, what they are doing is nothing wrong. But when someone is engaged in music or pornography, and I've just given you two examples, the examples are many, such as, for example, another powerful example is, you know, the uncovering of the hair of a female. If someone has their hair uncovered, knowing that it is wrong, they stand a far better chance to earn the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than people who justify it and say, so what? What's wrong? Why? These people are being hard. Let's not change the religion. That's my message to you. Sometimes, you know what happens to us? You come and listen to a talk and the imam is speaking on such a high level that we feel like non-Muslims sitting in front of him. We feel like, one youngster told me once, and I mentioned this last night in the talk in Harare, that you know what? The youngster tells me, hey, Mawlana, when he talks to us, I can feel the heat on my back. The heat of Jahannam, I can feel it on my back. I said, well, you know what? It's good, at least you can run forward, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us goodness. Sometimes we feel so much heat that we go out despondent. It happens. Not everyone speaks on your level. Not everyone will come and tell you what you understand. Some people might come and tell you something beyond your comprehension. Hey, look, I don't want to talk about this. It's prohibited. Whoever does it is going to Jahannam. Over. And he might walk out. But let me tell you something. You see, we can't afford to say, right, I'm not going to be a proper Muslim because I can't become a Muslim because Islam is very hard and it's far away. And you know, I'll just go for Jumu'ah and that's it. And even Jumu'ah, by the way, we'll see if I can go, if it's a good speaker. If not, it's fine. You know, as it is, I've been told by some scholar somewhere else that, you know, if you're on campus, then you can just make Dua and Asr together. Alhamdulillah. I don't know, have you heard these fatwas flying around? Wallahi, they are there, everywhere. You're on campus, don't worry, just read your salahs together and do qasr also because you're an automatic musafir because you're on a journey with your knowledge. Hey! Allah, that's what people are saying. It's a journey of knowledge. So believe me, it's more than 77 days. It's okay, carry on. You're enrolled. Astaghfirullah. So some people are not bothered. They turn the deen into something to suit their whims and fancies, as I said. Because they feel it's too far for them and they won't ever be able to catch that bandwagon. Let me tell you, when you can't afford a BMW, not every one of us can afford a BM, does that mean you won't buy a car? Allahu Akbar. You buy a little Datsun, mashallah. You buy a small Corolla, you start with that, mashallah. And then to get somewhere, from a Corolla you might move up to a Camry, like some of us, mashallah. And from a Camry you might be upgraded to something else, you might have an Audi. And thereafter, one day you get to a BM. But if you think, I can't get to a BM, so I'm going to walk, you'll walk for the rest of your life. So if you think the deen is too far for you, so you don't want to get into it, you're never going to get into it. But if you see, realize, hey, look, what I've heard is right. Music is haram, to uncover the hair is haram, to dress inappropriately is haram. For example, alcohol is haram, to be in seclusion with a strange female or person of the opposite sex is haram. This is haram, that's haram, I acknowledge it. But you know what? That's like the BMW, I haven't yet got there, but let me jump into my Corolla, I start one by one. That's a better way. By right as a Muslim, we're supposed to jump in straight. Jackpot. My father had it, I can have it. His keys came to me. When he bought the Jaguar, I got the beard. Alhamdulillah. That can happen. But it doesn't happen to everyone. So what I am saying, let's try and be realistic to help some of us who might not be so strong to get right to the BM spiritually. Spiritual BMW. Not to say I like the beard, but believe me, I don't. I don't even know why I use the example. But if we take a look at the reality on the ground, if you are not going to start implementing the deen in your life, what happiness do you want? Where do you want success from? You might be 40, 50 years old, no problem. You might be 20 and 30. Start now, obeying Allah's instructions one by one. Ideally, you're supposed to take it completely. Ya ayyuha allatheena amanu dukhulu fi s-silmi kaffan. O you who believe, enter into submission in totality. That's the command. Now, if you can't enter into totality at once, what do? Must you stay outside Islam and just say hello to the Muslims? No, that's not the way. You enter one by one. Your aim must be, Ya Allah, make me very soon, very, very soon, from amongst those who can enter in totality. Then you achieve success. And I've chosen to talk about this on campus because campus, believe me, if you do not have a strong willpower, you can be drawn into the biggest sins that a few years ago you didn't even smell and you never even dreamt that you would commit them. Today, what is right? Let me tell you what's right. Drugs is more right than you can imagine. It starts off with what we call weed. What's weed? It's a little leaf. In fact, I shouldn't be asking you, what it is. You should be telling me, Allahu Akbar. May Allah grant us goodness, because we see it around us. We hope and pray that we are not in it. And if we've been in it, believe me, it's not too late. Jump into the Corolla now, the spiritual one, and start giving it up. Throw it away. Then you have a happy home, you'll have lots of wealth, you'll be able to have children whom you are proud of, whom you will be a role model of, because we are now adults. And we need to start preparing a life so that we can get the new generation coming up soon. They will be in the universities. And at that time, you know what will be the end thing? What's happening in the States right now? Sex change. Every other person has had a sex change. So you don't even know what's going on. They've had a sex change and it's the end thing. Just like I seen someone who shaved their eyebrows totally and tattooed a sister. And I happened to ask some people that, hey, why are they doing this? They say, no, that's the fashion. That's the fashion. Okay, so we follow all the fashion. So now they're tattooing the ankle. The ankle is tattooed with a little dolphin. I don't know if you've seen it. So, and then what do? We follow that because it's the fashion. And then what happens? You might have seen the upside down Mercedes sign on the back here. May Allah protect us. Show you. Why? That's the fashion. Then what happens? That also drops. And everything else goes. And the young brothers, may Allah protect us. I call them half bummers. You might have heard it in some of my talks. Where does it come from? It's the fashion. We drop ourselves to lower than the lowest. We have now hit a new low, which means lower than the lowest available. We've gone right now. Why? We just follow it. A Muslim follows Allah and His Messenger. You will achieve true peace, true harmony. You will have respect in on the globe. When you walk, people say this man is respectable. Your accountancy firm, everybody knows here, you will have a proper service. Everything is to the T. Imagine a man, he's got a top accounting degree or a beautiful medicine degree right at the top. He passed with flying colors and so on, and yet he's a drunkard. He visits the casino every other day. What type of a doctor is he going to be? We've had cases where we've entered the casualties with people, emergency, and you find the man on call comes and he's talking to you like, sorry, what happened here? And he's, you know, he's literally bubbling off saliva. You look at him and say, it's okay, take your sick person and go away. Better they die safe than to live unsafe. Allahu Akbar. I don't know if you know what I mean. Because we want it. So dignity and respect is what Islam offers you. Do you want it? If you want it, jump on the bandwagon today. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open our doors. Don't ever think Islam is too far, too hard. Start somewhere, you're going to get there. You might die not having got to the ideal, but Allah knows you were improving one thing at a time, and it came one at a time, so Allah said, my worshipper, I know what you were doing. You were coming closer and closer towards me. There was never a time when you actually went away from me, so I grant you paradise. Allah can do that. Because the environment around us is hostile. When I say hostile, I mean hostile towards the purity of Islam. We don't want to comment about those who are not Muslims. They are free. They can do what they want. If we happen to talk to them and they talk to us, they want to know about Islam, or we want to explain to them once in a while what we believe, it's okay. We cannot shove our rules down the throats of those who have not accepted the faith of Islam. But here we are talking to Muslims. We have chosen Islam out of our own free will. And this is what we say. We are all human beings, as citizens of this country, for example, free to believe what we want. But the minute we chose Islam, we have, through our freedom, chosen to put rules and regulations on our shoulders. That's what has happened. Out of our freedom we've chosen. So no one can say, no, I'm a Muslim. You know, don't tell me, I'll do whatever I want. Those two statements are like saying, I'm a Muslim, but I'm also a kafir. Because once you say, I'm a Muslim, you cannot say, I'll do whatever I want. Islam says, once you're a Muslim, you have chosen not to do whatever you want, but to do what your maker wants. That's Islam. What's the meaning of Islam? Submission. If we don't submit, how can we call ourselves Muslims? So now comes a sector of people, the bulk of people. They fall under a bracket where they are submitters, but there are certain things they falter in. All of us. We make mistakes. We commit sin now and again. May Allah say, guard us. We don't want to commit major sin, sometimes minor thing. Sometimes without even knowing, we commit a sin or two. What happens to us? What happens to us is, for as long as we are improving on a daily basis, and for as long as we are doing more, today we came for Jum'ah. MashaAllah, the brothers and sisters have arrived very early. This should be the case every Friday. Then come the other salawat. We have read one salah a week. I know there are some who only read Jum'ah. Some only read Eid. And some don't even read the Eid. I don't want to enter the debate as to whether they are Muslim or not. They are saying the Shahada, we take them as our brethren and we need to work together with them so that we can improve ourselves and themselves. Let's not get into that debate. But what we want to say is if we are from amongst those who only read one prayer a week, wallahi, you can do better than that. We want happiness. We want success. We want sustenance. We want the most happy of homes and so on. We want good health, the owner of health, the owner of happiness, the owner of success, the owner of all the beautiful spouses there are out there is Allah. How can we attain or achieve any of those in terms of success when we are transgressing against the owner of all of those? We can't do that. So I leave you with a challenge. What is the challenge? The challenge is, whatever stage we are on today, do we all make a firm intention to improve on our level? Do we?
Inshallah.
Let's try again. Do we?
Inshallah.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. We must, and I'm not just saying this, and we should not be saying this just because we want our voice heard. If I were to say, put your hands up, I wouldn't do that actually. But if I were to say, put your hands up, everybody would, because they know if I didn't put my hands up, everybody would say, this guy's not prepared to, you know, do something about his deen. Wallahi, we are so lucky. We are so lucky. You see, if you'd like happiness, there's a path. Tread on it. And I challenge you, if you tread on any other path, it will never end in happiness. It cannot end in that wholesome success of yours. The sisters, a lot of them, send emails worried about what type of a decision to make when they want to get married and what to do in life and so on and so forth. And sometimes you're busy scratching your head and saying, but my dear sister, you don't even want to cover your hair to save your life. And then you want to worry about what type of a spouse am I going to get? What's going to happen here and there? The brother's telling you, you know, I'm engaged to someone, but I'm only her second choice because, you know, her first choice is already married. Now what's going to happen? These are the type of things we get. Allahu Akbar. This is reality. It's on the ground. It happens to a lot of people. And then you say, but brother, hang on. You know those jeans of yours? If you could just wear a belt with them, inshallah, above your hips slightly, perhaps Allah will open your doors. We consider it minor. It is a major thing. How can we show our undies in public and want the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The one boy told me they are now called Ovies. I said, why? He said, because they're no longer undies. Superman, Allahu Akbar. Batman, does he bring a bat? Allahu Akbar. May Allah open our doors. My beloved brothers and sisters, our deen teaches us to respect ourselves. Dignity. Never find yourselves with a bottle. Never find yourselves with a drug. If you have found yourself with that, this is the day to engage in tawbah. Do not say no one came to us to remind us you are a beautiful human being. You've had a problem, you can eradicate it. Some of the brothers on drugs and alcohol and so on, and who've been into in and out of the nightclubs, and they've been desecrating our own females, some of them. If you remove that bad habit from them, they could be champions of this deen. Believe me, some of them have so good akhlaq. Some of them have so good morals. Every one of us has a lot to offer. Everyone without exception. Everyone seated here has a lot to offer without exception. The problem is when we disrespect ourselves, we then lose everything. And we feel like a failure. And we feel like we belong not to the general Muslimin, but we belong to a different line of Muslims, like people who are on a highway. When you have a guy who's got a car that is 1960 model, that's barely operating, with one light looking like a Dajjal in the front of his vehicle, what happens to him? He has to drive on the lane which is the slowest lane, because according to him, hey, I don't want to see these Porsches darting past like this, you know, and I don't want guys bashing me from the back. I'm on another lane altogether. Why should that happen to us? How many of us would be embarrassed to show a vehicle like that of ours in public? We would prefer to jump into a taxi, a combi, and come here with these public transport to say, hey, you know what, this guy can't afford it. But we wouldn't like to show a vehicle that looks like a wheelbarrow turned the other way around. We wouldn't like it. But spiritually, we are showing the same wheelbarrows. Spiritually, we are showing a one-eyed Dajjal walking around everywhere. Spiritually, we are sometimes astray and leading others astray because we couldn't give a damn. We are quick to pass judgment against ulama of the deen. Oh, that man is astray. This man here, don't listen to him. He belongs to that sect. This man is that cult. But where are we? We are not even doing anything about our own salah. My five salah is not in order. And I want to pass a big fatwa about this brother and that sister. Allahu Akbar. Where is this? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open our doors. And may Allah grant us success in the dunya and the akhirah. Beloved brothers and sisters, I have spoken a lot. And the time already has arrived for our khutbah. I hope and I pray that I have benefited firstly from what I have said today. May Allah make me from those who can effect a change in my life positively. Because no matter what level you've got on, don't think you are hot stuff. Don't. Don't think you are now the Pope. No. Because what happens when you think that, the E drops off the end and you become a pop. Allah protect us. And don't ever think that there is no room for improvement and never feel that you are a write-off corner. You know, I'm on drugs. I enter the club. Wallahi, work on yourself. Work on yourself. Come for salah. Come sober yourself. Cut it out. Take it. You can. Willpower. Be there. See, respect yourself. Cut it out. Even cigarettes for that matter. Take it out. Drop it. Why one thing leads to another, it's a waste of money. I was calculating the other day, if a person smokes for 20 years, in most cases, depending on how much they're smoking, if they're the A-grade smokers, they can afford a house after that. And the guy's still living in rented accommodation, sometimes one thing led to another, and he's gone well beyond the devil's limit as well. Wait, the devil shies away from some people. Hey, you know what? I taught him up today. Now what he did, I'm learning. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us and grant us goodness. Wallahi, it's only been an honor, as I said, to come and talk to you. If even one person has been moved by 1 millimeter, inshallah, you've succeeded. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala love us all. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open every door of all of us, of ulams. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us wholesale. And may Allah grant us a new chapter, a beginning. My beloved sisters, to improve your dress code is just a flash and a click of willpower, wallahi. My beloved brothers, to eradicate your bad habit, no matter what it is a flash of willpower. Ask Allah and be strong, and you shall get it by the will of Allah. Till we meet again, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa baraka ala Muhammad.